you know, do the message in you, I am strong, and I love it. I love it. And so, and that's an excellent example of teamwork. And it goes to say that better results can be achieved together when we work together. Teamwork can make anything happen. And it's more important than individual skill, than money, than qualifications, than experience. And you know what? It's impossible to go through life and not being a part of a team. The examples of the team concept is everywhere, even in God's creation. The example of the team is in family. And within the family, there's various duties that are rotated, or various duties that someone does. Someone does the cooking, the cleaning. Someone is the breadwinner. Someone chooses who to do the repairs. In church, in the body of Christ, there's examples of teamwork. There are those who sing. There are those who put out the hymnals. There are those who put out the chairs. There are those who set up the snack tables. There are those who praise, those who speaks. What I'm doing today, just ministering to you, just speaking, delivering a message. So there's many examples of teamwork. Each and every one of us was involved in a team at some point in our lives. Remember when you were in high school, you probably played on a school team, or you were involved in a project. How would you define team? One definition I came across was the unselfish and unconditional sharing of one's best skills and resources for the benefit of the community, a team. And we can look at God's creations and find excellent workings of team. Bees, bumblebees. Do you know that on a hot day, half the bees stay outside of the hive and beat their wings? Inside the hive and beat their wings with the idea of keeping the temperature inside the hive cool. The other half of the bees is outside collecting nectar and pollen. And they rotate those duties the next day. So we see an example of teamwork built into God's creation, this concept. Ants is an excellent example of teamwork. Ants, we know ants by themselves, they can't carry much, but together they can carry a whole lot. Ants works together very, very, very well. Ants, for example, in the example of a flooding, I saw where several ants would lock their arms and legs together, and they will float on top of the flooding, allowing the colony of ants to walk on top of them to get to their destination. An example of teamwork built into God's creation. And we can see it in many diverse places. Geese, they're an excellent... We know that geese flies in a V formation. Why is that? Why not a W or a... I don't know, a T, or why a V? I mean, there must be a reason. You know what? And it so happens that Sanchez found out the geese flying in the V formation, the geese up ahead, they fly a little bit ahead. And what that does is it shields the geese behind them from the wind. And also the geese, the flap of the wings, creates an updraft of current for the back geese so that they can fly long distances. And what happens is the front geese get tired, the geese rotates position. So it allows them to fly these long ranges of miles, up to 70% longer than they would in the formation. And plus, flying in the V formation, it's easy to see which member of the team gets lost in a V formation rather than some random, unorganized formation. So I say this to say that teamwork is everywhere. It's everywhere, wherever you go, at your workplace, in your schools, it's in your families, it's in God's creation. Teamwork is everywhere. And yes, perhaps the greatest example of team is God the Father and God the Son. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. At some point in history, one decided to be God the Father ultimate, and one decided to become Jesus Christ the Son, an example of teamwork. But there are things that can hurt the team, and I just want to highlight some of the things that can hurt the team, that can hurt the body of Christ. Things that hurt the team. People who wants to be on the team but doesn't play. How many remember being back in high school on a school project and the group was given a task to do something? Okay, you do this and you do that. I remember. And you know what? I mean, I can remember a time where sometimes there's someone on the team who does nothing. And you have to help, you have to pull the weight for that person. So they want to be on the team, but they don't want to just do their weight. And it hurts the team. Many people want to be on a team. It's natural. especially the winning team. We want to be associated with the winning team. I remember one of my, when I was a teenager, I looked up to was impressed, say, with Michael Jordan. And so everyone wanted to associate himself with the Bulls. Who's your favorite basketball team? Oh, the Bulls, Michael Jordan. Why? Because they're winners. Everyone wanted a number 23 jersey because they just want to be associated with winners. Probably why I bald my head as a teenager first. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not why. But everyone wants to be associated with a winning team. Everyone wants to wear the winning jersey. And it's just natural. We want to be on a winning team because we want to be winners. We want to be successful in what we do in life. You know what else could hurt the team? People who never practice but expect to do their best on game day. On the day of the sport, on the day of performance. You never practice, or you practice very little, but you expect to just show up and be successful at your results. Think back now. There was a time, well, I can remember, there were some times that an exam came around, and after the exam finished, I said, you know what, I should have studied. How many people pulled a one-nighter? Come on. And say, you know what, yeah, I should have just studied ahead of time. I would have done much better. And sometimes we do that. We expect to perform, and we don't really put in the work necessary. And then after the act is done, you spit back and go, why didn't I? And you end up hurting yourself and also the team. What else can hurt the team? People who give up before the game is over. One of the frustrating teams is to be on a team where people want to quit because they're behind in the score. You look up at the scoreboard and, wow, how are we ever going to catch up? How many has played a game before with a friend? Think back as a child and maybe you say, it's not fair, I don't want to play anymore because you're falling behind in the score. And that can hurt the team. That can hurt the team. Sometimes in life, you're going to have to take some hard hits. You might be knocked out of bounds, but you have to get up and try again. Sometimes you will fall behind in the score, but what happens is if you get up and you keep trying and to believing that you can win. I mean, after all, if you don't stay in the game, you certainly will lose. And we have the insurance that we can win by staying on the team, by staying in the body of Christ. Over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, now thanks be to God always, who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. That's comforting to know that we will always be led in triumph by Christ Jesus. What else can hurt the team? People who talk negatively about their teammates and their coaches. You know, that could really hurt the team spirit. It can cause division. Remember, Jesus says a house divided cannot stand. And that's what talking negatively about the teammates does. It could lead to team loss. Here's a good piece of advice over here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And look what it says here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And here's another one in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. That brings up this point a little as well. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. It says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and gossip separates close friends. And so this also hurts the team. You know what else can hurt the team? People who quit and leave when things are not going their way. People who leave and quit where things are not going their way. Perhaps you don't like how the organization runs itself. You don't like particular rules. And because the organization refuses to change or bend or refuses to change the way they do things, perhaps you just up and leave and quit. That hurts the team instead of sticking around. What else can hurt a team? People who sits on the opposing team's bench. Think back. What if your perhaps favorite, one of your favorite sports players, those of you who have any, sits on the other team's bench? For me, what if Michael Jordan was to sit on the bench of the Celtics or something like that? I mean, the fans would boo. I would think of him. What? How could you? You know, as a traitor. How do you think the other team members would feel? You ever had a team member that cozies up to the other team, and how do you feel as that team member? How do you think God will feel when you're hanging out on the enemy's bench, when you choose to do your own thing, when you choose to follow the secular way of life and not God's way of life? What else hurts the team? You know, people, those who never really want to commit to the team, they're on the team, but they don't demonstrate commitment. And in today's world, we have many free agents after a couple of years because of more money or whatever. This person goes to another team. There's no one sticks around. No one sticks out anymore. Everyone leaves for their own reasons. No one really commits to the team. And a real team that any coach, almost any coach, will tell you consists of strength and depth and unity made by people who is committed. And so those are some of the things that can hurt the team. Any team, not just necessarily in the sports world, a team of the family, a team of a friendship, a team who works for some to bring about a project at work. Definitely those things can hurt the body of Christ, the team. But what are some of the good things of a good team, a strong team? A good team is characterized by cohesiveness, by their unity, being able to work together. Let me share a few little story. There was two horses, and each horse was tied to a sled separately to see how much weight they can pull. One horse was able to pull when he was tied to the sled 4,000 pounds, and then a second horse was tied to a different sled, and that horse was able to pull 45,000 pounds. And so, 4,500 pounds. And so the owner wondered, I wonder how much could the horses pull if they were tied together to the sled. So sure enough, he ties both horses to the sled together, and they were able to pull together 12,000 pounds. So 3,500 more pounds working together as one unit than working separately. As a kid, I liked the Three Musketeers. And recall there was a favorite saying, one for all and all for one. They were more than a team of good swordsmen. They were friends. They had fun together. They took hits for each other. There's a saying, the needs of the many outweighs the needs of the one. People on winning team recognizes this, and people want to be on teams who has those and share those concepts. People want to be on teams where the members of the team, the members of the body, are able to put their interests above their own or ahead of their own. Over here in Philippians chapter 2, let's come to verse 2 of Philippians chapter 2. And here is a passage that describes such a team. And it says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So we should look to the interests of others. I want to share with you a true story that brings out this concept of the team. There was what's known, and some of you may know, as the Miracle of Dunkirk. And it occurred during World War II. And there were a lot of Allied soldiers, British and French soldiers, that were trapped on the shores, trapped on the coast of Germany, and they had nowhere to go. And the English Navy could only rescue a certain amount of troops, about 37,000 troops they could rescue. But there was a lot more. There were a couple hundred of thousands of Allied troops that was trapped. And word got out word got out, and the population of England, anyone who owned a boat, they all rallied together, any ragtag boat or raft, and they each carried whom they could, the soldiers, on their own personal boats, and brought them to ships that were far off the coast. And over 300,000 soldiers were rescued from the beach of France, Dunkirk, by a nation rallying together. And so it was known as the Miracle of Dunkirk. So what the British Navy couldn't do alone, a country was able to do by coming together, working towards some common cause. So it's an excellent example of teamwork, what can be accomplished, of teamwork. The other good thing about a teamwork, the other good positive characteristic, is that members of the team have a positive attitude. Members of the team have persons who believed the best, who thinks that we can endure. And you know what? Attitude. Your attitude can make the team, or break the spirit or the morale of the team. When there's moments of intense pressure, it's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to lose one's cool. Attitude. Another good characteristic of a team is diversity. Diversity. People who have different skills and different abilities and different talents. A good team consists of such. And they are differences, not weakness. They are strengths. Over here in the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians. And it speaks to this, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Let's turn there. And let's just break into text at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. It says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongue, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and of all made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact that body is not one member, but many." So many members in the one team. "If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, and I am not the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be?" So let's say all of you were, pick an organ that you like the best. I don't know, I'll pick for you, I suppose. A nose. I don't know, I'm just, I mean, a nose, I want to be a lip. I mean, the difference is in everyone plays a different role, a different part. Everyone is gifted in a different area, and it all comes together to the edification of all. Jim conducted song leading. Margaret played the piano. The two beautiful young ladies delivered a wonderful, edifying song. I happen to be speaking to you today, and you happen to be listening. And so it all comes together to the glory of God. And so everyone is edified that way. And so we all play parts. So truly, there's as was said earlier by my brother Peter, there is no I in team. There is the team, the body of Christ. And that makes a good team when you recognize that. There's no I in the body of Christ. There's just the sacrificial love for the body of Christ that each of the members should have, that each of us should grow to have. So diversity in the body is a good characteristic of a good team. What else? What else does a good, strong team have? Relationships. Relationships. A winning team has relationships that exist between the members. Some of you have relationships and friendships between you. That's what makes the body strong. You respect each other. You listen to each other. You support each other. You encourage each other. We pray for each other. Relationships. When you engage in prayer, you're in a relationship with God. So you're in a team interaction with God the Father. A team. You pray, He listens. It's an interactive thing. A team. You've been on the receiving end of listening or being empathetic to someone, and perhaps you've also had the opportunity of someone being able to listen to you and shoulder your problems, being a part of the team. And it feels good. It's reciprocal. What is the best team to be on? Team starts with a J. Yes, Team Jesus. Team Jesus. Not just any Jesus. The Jesus who is the God of the Old Testament. The Jesus who magnified and upheld the Ten Commandments. The Jesus who is God. Jesus who pre-existed and had no beginning of days. The Jesus who has a particular way that He laid out to worship God. Team Jesus. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual should set him right and restore and reinstate him. So you see the relationship here? Without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version, by the way. Let's go to verse 2. Bear. It says, bear one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults. And in this way, fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ and complete what is lacking. So it says here, we should bear one another's burdens. It means to endure your brother's burdens, carry your brother's burdens. So it is more than just listening to one of his burdens, to endure it and to carry it. That's going an extra step. An extra step. What else is a good characteristic of the team? Faith. A strong team believe that they can win and overcome when all odds is against them. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And he said that in Mark 9, verse 23. The captain of the team said that. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who can believe. With God, we know that nothing is impossible. With Jesus, our captain, we know that we'll be triumphant. Isn't it consoling and it's a nice feeling to know that you're on a winning team. It's nice to know that in the end, God wins out. Ultimately, God's plan of salvation will come to fruition. Ultimately, the kingdom of God will be set up on earth. Ultimately, there will be everlasting peace and joy, and every man shall sit under their fig tree and share stories and so forth. God wins out in the end. It's comforting to know that you're on a team that would be instrumental in bringing about those results in the kingdom. Team Jesus. Team Jesus. And in the Bible, there's many examples of stories and teamwork. Jesus and his 12 disciples were an effective team. Gideon's army of 300. You could go on and on. Noah and his family, Moses and Aaron. God and Daniel was a team. God enabled Daniel to interpret dreams. So was God and Joseph was a team. You and God, you're a team. You and God, you have a personal, each and every one of us has a personal relationship with God the Father. We seek to do his will. We humble ourselves and we seek to be led by his Spirit. Jesus is our captain, our guide. We are a team with him. We are a team with him. Let me show you, let's come to a scriptural passage here in Genesis chapter 11. And it illustrates what a team can accomplish. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. So, at first, everyone spoke the same language. So, one of the strong points of a team, speaking the same language, communication. You know, on any team, when the communication breaks down and no one listens to each other, you don't get much done. There's no positive results. Everyone spoke the same language. But after some of them moved from the east and settled in Babylonia, they said, "Let's build a city with a tower that reaches to the sky. We'll use hard bricks and tar instead of stone and mortar. We'll become famous, and we won't be scattered all over the world." But the Lord came down and looked at the city and the tower. He said, now notice, the people are working together because they all speak the same language. This is just the beginning. Soon they will be able to do anything they want. So one of the strong things about a team, that one of the strong characteristics of a team, is a team who could really communicate with each other. Yes, they were really able to communicate. And God came down and said they couldn't achieve their goal. God said this is just the beginning. They could achieve anything they want working together as a team. Let's go down and confuse them by making them speak different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. So the people had to stop building the city because the Lord confused their language and scattered them all over the earth. That's how the city Babel got his name. So we see a strong concept of the team, even though they had the wrong goal in mind. A team, working together as a team, very strong positive results could be achieved by working as a team than working individually, even though the end goal is wrong. God gave a directive to man to, you know, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. They wanted to huddle together and build a tower to reach the sky. How did God stop the teamwork? How did God put an end to the team in this effect? Well, you take away the communication. When you take away the communication, nothing much gets done. You ever be on a team where no one listens to each other? Whatever, I'm not listening to you. Nothing, it doesn't work out. It's not a positive environment. It's not a good, the team spirit is not there. It's negative, it doesn't work. We don't work. So a strong team has communication for each other. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And it's an example of an unlikely team. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And let's come to verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed him, to those who were on Jesus' team, those who followed him, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. My point is, we need to really, a strong team really believes in the captain. A strong team, good team, really believes in and follows the captain. Captain Jesus. Captain Jesus. Verse 11 continuing, and I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. They will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. A good team, a strong team, trusts each other. A good team and strong team believes in each other. They have that characteristic among the team. A good team and a strong team. I'm going to share with you another story. There was a gentleman several decades ago named Jimmy Durant. A gentleman named Jimmy Durant. He was a great entertainer. He was an entertainer. And he was asked to appear to do a show for some of the World War II veterans. Because he was very busy, he said, you know what, I'll come, but I can only do a very, very short monologue, and then I'll have to go. So he came, and he did his short monologue, and he continued. He got the applause from the audience, and he continued doing his monologue. And he did another one, and he did another one, and he did another one. And so he finally concluded his presentation, and he bowed at the applause. And so backstage, someone asked him, how come you stayed longer than you said you could? You did several performances for us. He says, well, you know what? If you look in the front row, I was so inspired by two men who had their arms cut off in the war and what they could do. There was one man who had his right arm cut off, so he had one hand, and the other gentleman had his left hand cut off, so he had this hand. But together, they were able, this gentleman was clapping this way, and that one was clapping this way. So together, he heard their claps, and that inspired him to go on with his performances. So together, those two men were working in a unit, appreciating what that presenter did for them, working as one team that inspired him to go on and to lengthen out his presentation. And so, even when you have a weakness or you're not good at a particular thing, but by working in the team, you could achieve a result could be achieved that you can't achieve individually, that you can't achieve by yourself. What happens if something needs to get done and no one wants to do it? Well, let me share with you. It's, it's titled, That's Not My Job. This is a story about four people. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody knew that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that somebody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. So, a good, strong team. Somebody is always willing to do the particular task, whatever it may be, however unpalatable it may seem. A good team always has somebody who would do whatever needs to be done. What else does a good winning team has? A good winning team has, well, leadership. Someone has to decide, who will do what. someone has to decide ultimately, well, who's going to be the hand, who's going to be the nose, who's going to be the feet, who's going to be the ear. And that person happens to be God. That person happens to be the creator. That person happens to be the captain, Team Jesus. In John chapter 15, let's go there. And on Team Jesus, we should realize that we can't get much done without recognizing and relying on our captain, Captain Jesus. So let's go to John, the book of John chapter 15, and come to verse 1. And so it says, I am the true vine. And let's picture this as Jesus, the vine. And my Father is the gardener. So let's picture the gardener as the coach. So Jesus, the vine. God the Father is the coach. He cuts off every branch, and then you are the branch. We're the teammates. In me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch, the teammates, can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. The teammates must remain in Jesus. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you remain in me, and my words, this message, remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus is our ultimate captain. He's the leader of our team. And we should strive to do the best in our walk. What am I saying in short? Each of us should put the body first. Our team first is important. We should be able to sacrifice for each other, to go that second mile for each other. The body is more important. Jesus Christ died for us all. Jesus Christ died for his church, and he's going to be wedded to it. The team is more important than the individual. The team. In conclusion, let me leave you with two acronyms. The first one is TEAM, meaning together everyone achieves more. TEAM, together everyone achieves more. And lastly, TEAMWORK, together enjoying a ministry, worshiping our righteous King. And we can really worship Jesus Christ when we really sacrifice ourselves for the body. So a strong team has unity. It has good attitude. It has commitment. A strong team has diversity. A strong team has relationships. A strong team has faith. A strong team has communication. A strong team has good leadership, a captain. May God bless you all to continue on in faith and strength in Team Jesus.